this is the time that we must start our meeting. Sorry for this little delay, because we are from the recess, we are from the, our constituency, we are also from the World Cup, so so now we're just, when we are coming to the Parliament, we must just meet some other people and talk. How do you feel it? How do you, and then that's why we're becoming very late. But otherwise, let me welcome everybody to this meeting. I see everybody now is well. I also see Honorable Mkhoro was sick, but now he is well. Thank you for that. Honorable DP also I see. He is very bright this term. I'm sure he relaxed well. Maybe he was in the fields, I don't know, in the stadium. Thank you very much from the department and also from PMG and other people that are here. Before we start, there is an agenda in front of us where we're going to have a briefing by the Department of Agriculture on the agreement on mutual acceptance of oenology practices by the World Wine Trade Group. We've got only about 1, 2, 3, 4 items, but the first two items is going to be briefing by the department. But before we start, at least we must know each other. We must not have foreigners in the house. We must know each other. Let me start by myself. I'm Daphne Krikani, from the Eastern Cape. I'm the chairperson of this committee deployed by the African National Congress in the NSOP. I'll go to the old man with a black jacket. thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Ruta George Mkhoro.
My name is Gauta George Mkhoro. I'm the whip of this committee, and I am a member of the NCOP, deployed by the ANC of the Northern Cape. And I must say thank you for South Africans at large for having staged a successful FIFA World Cup. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair, and sorry to be late. My name is O'Neill De Beer. I am from the Western Cape province. I'm a member of the Congress of the People, serving as a full-time member on this committee.
Okay, thank you. I think I must go straight to the department. That is from you,
Thank you, Chair. Thank Honorable Leadership. My name is Bigman Maolo. I'm the Deputy Director General for Food Safety and Biosecurity in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry.
Good morning. My name is Günther Müller from the Department of Agriculture, Directorate International Trade.
Good morning. My name is Alex Romola. I'm from the Directorate Food Safety and Quality Assurance in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Wendy Juncker. I'm a manager of Division Liquor Products, and I deal with the administration of the Liquor Products Act in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you. Next lady down there.
Oh, I'm called the Asapati Berger. Yes,
Okay, there.
Morning, everyone. My name is Ismail Hussain, and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, Madam Chair. I'm Hilton Zunkel. I'm a director with Trade Law Chambers. We are a law firm in Cape Town that specializes in international trade, and we have clients that work in the wine industry. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to join you and to learn about new developments in wine law this morning.
Thank you. Ladies,
come. Jolene van Wyk, Landbouw Weerblad.
Okay.
I'm from
Thank you honorable members. We've got only 3 members here today. We've got about 5 apologies. The others, we've got also a workshop inside Parliament for international relations. So just because the numbers are very few in the NSOP, we just share the numbers. So that's why we have the few members that are here today. So the other one is sick, but the others are in a workshop. Yes. So we've got only 3 members that are here today. And we've got also an apology from the minister and the DG. They've got in Khutla somewhere, don't know, in Pretoria, I don't know. So that's why they are not here today. I think without much ado, I think I must hand over with the department. Honorable members, we are going to use the hard copies because the IT has not yet been fixed. So I think everybody has got a hard copy document. DBS?
Yeah.
Honorable one? Okay, yeah. So we're going to use the hard copy. Okay, let me hand over to the department to brief us. There is the last paper that they sent. This is the last page. The last page of the document. Okay. Let me hand over to the department to give us this briefing.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we're thankful for being given the time to present this particular legislative and procedural matter to the relevant select committee. And we plan to make this presentation within maybe 30 to 35 minutes. If it's acceptable to yourself, and then from there on the rest of the time to just be, you know, the hands of the select committee to manage the process. As it is said, I'll use the presentation one, the one which says Worldwide Trade Group Agreement on Mutual Acceptance of Oenological Practices, Agreement on the Requirements for One Label. The other background documents included the submission for notification to the minister as part of the briefing, and also submission to have this issue, you know, recognized in the ministry. So that is just more of a background document. I'll use the presentation one that you have in front of you. The Worldwide Trade Group is a group of an informal, you know, wine producing countries whose main objectives are to facilitate the trade in wine, the reduction of barriers in wine trade, you know, sharing of information and collaboration on aspects of trade and product wine, production of wine, and as well as sharing and exchange of laws and regulations in each of the participating countries on wine making and other practices relating to wine label and you know, packaging or whatever you may call. There are no formal, you know, membership requirements. There are no membership fees, and there is no particular secretariat. The group is chaired by a rotating chair who functions as a secretariat and organizes the meeting of the group. Normally, we have about 2 meetings per year, one in September or November, the other one somewhere in March, April. And then the meetings are attended by both government and the industry, you know, representatives, as it were. And just for your information, South Africa was the chair of this group until this year in March, and then we handed over the chairpersonship to Argentina, who they are going to hold the first session of the meeting somewhere in September, October. So I was the chairperson of that group up to the end of March this year. The group was formed in 1998, and these are the participants: Argentina, Australia, Canada, Chile, Georgia, New Zealand, South Africa, and the USA. And the mutual acceptance agreements and the labeling agreements are the core issues of the group. And the essence of this thing is to make sure, as I said, those are 4 objectives that are set in there, is to try to make wine trading more liberal and more accessible to new markets than it is currently, taking into account that the the current OIV institutional arrangements and legislative framework are designed on the European, you know, norms and standards. And America and ourselves and other people we feel that represents what our capacities are in terms of making our wine product available to more consumers in the world. So the negotiations on the mutual acceptance agreements were almost finalized in 2001, and the labeling agreement, which was the more toughest one, is around 2007. Members in the exclusion of South Africa and Georgia have implemented all the mutual acceptance areas, and there are two reasons why Georgia and South Africa, you know, haven't as yet, you know, implemented this mutual agreement, and that's partly the reason why we're here today. The labeling agreement is at various stages of ratification in all the countries, and only the U.S. and Chile have completed the necessary internal processes by both their portfolio committees, select committees, and the necessary, you know, chambers and parliamentary process to have this process finalized. South Africa participated actively in the negotiations in both agreements. However, due to the reforms in the OIV is the International Organization for Wine and Vine, before actually coming to Parliament to ask for this ratification and accession, purely because the intention was that OIV maybe will come up with desirable, you know, reform that will enable, you know, market access issues for our wine better than we currently enjoy and expect. On page 4, the mutual acceptance and labeling agreements, these are enabling agreements aimed at facilitating trade wine. They are in conformity with the provisions of the WTO, so there is nothing clandestine or outside the rule of World Trade Organization that are done. It's just that certain provisions do not make the extent to which we expect market access and reform in the trade industry to happen, so that those countries as indicated decided that it is better for them to manage, you know, some of their trading activities differently than the rest of the OIV membership. There is a few requirements in terms of wine legislation in the country of which we have worked on. It is not in conflict with both the WTO or the constitution of this country, and the industry has actually supported, you know, these kind of changes to the legislation by this country to make sure that involvement and facilitation within the WWTG group is appropriately recognized. It will ease the export of wine to signatory countries, which means between those 8 countries, I mean, that are involved, when certain things have been agreed upon, it's no longer going to be an issue of compliance or what. We just need to meet the minimum requirements because we believe in what we call equivalent, the rule of equivalent. If we produce wines in this country that are accepted by country X in another region, there is no reason why Chile or Brazil should come and say we don't accept wines from South Africa until they meet this standard, because in terms of the concept of equivalent, it means best practices have been undertaken to make sure that the consumers are safe in terms of consuming that particular product in question. The accession to the agreement also is strongly supported by the South African wine industry, as you said. Page 5, the mutual acceptance agreement recognizes wine making practices of signatories as compliant with own practices. That is basically the concept of equivalence there. Best practices in the U.S. Suggest that the consumption or consuming public anywhere else in the world can rely in the safety of that product. Same with South Africa. If they produce good wines, it means everybody else in the world can consume that wine without having any, you know, health, you know, negative effects. It includes a common definition of wine compared to OIV that has got, you know, regional and sometimes even a geo specific position. It does not limit rights or obligations under the WTO rights, so people can still trade with any other country, you know, including the members of the WTO. And it does not interfere with existing or future agreements on oenological practices with third party countries. For example, if South Africa has to develop an agreement with Japan, our agreement within the WWTG is not going to impact on the relationship that will establish with the third country. Benefits to the country in terms of this agreement largely is the reduction of costs relating to documentation and analysis. As you said, best practices in this country and the trust and the credibility of the product through the consumption of that product suggests that anybody in the world can consume this particular product. So we don't have to go to additional analysis to satisfy a third or fourth country requirement in terms of the product that we produce in the country. Same with documentation around qualification or certification or agreeing to the content of certain elements, whether chemical elements or whatever, color or taste of a particular product. Export logistics to WTO countries are simplified. For example, DAF had to provide a certificate with each consignment of wine exported to the USA, and this particular thing will fall away once we accede to the MMA, which is that particular definition of a product of wine will now constitute what we agree and accept as a safe product for both South African consumers and American consumers. So there is less pressure in terms of government resources, filling documentation, replying queries, questions, and then spending more time in controlling the movement of goods rather than enabling business to do trade. Phase 6, labeling agreements. The objective there is to accept the common labeling information and minimize labeling-related trade barriers. Label information must be clear, specific, accurate, truthful, and not misleading to the consumer, and doesn't prevent national mandatory information, e.g. health warnings like you see in cigarettes, the same with wines or intoxicating beverages, where you indicate that this particular product should not be sold to people of 18 years and lower or 16 years and lower. It does not limit the rights of obligations under the WTO, as I said. We still, all of us, comply to the WTO rules of the game. The benefits thereof are create certainty in terms of labeling requirements for the market, which means if we have agreed as members of the WWTG that part of our labeling is going to look like this, it's not going to be an issue for any authorities in all these countries to question why this particular content of the labeling is there. It is something that we have agreed and then accepted. One label for mandatory information can be used for all the WWTG markets. And as you know, every brand has got its own regional or country-specific. Coca-Cola in South Africa, label contents are like this. When you go to Tanzania, when you go to Hong Kong, when you go to China, all of them have got their country-specific requirements. Reduction in cost, you don't have to print more labels than is necessary for each and every market, which is one good plus factor as far as the industry is concerned, and then more profit in their pocket. It also simplifies the entry into export logistics or to this particular market without extra cost. Page 7, legislative changes required to accept to the two agreements. As I said, the Liquor Products Act of 1989, number 60, had to be amended to provide for these agreements. The Liquor Products Act deals with production, compositional labeling requirements, as well as import and export certification of liquor products. There is a table in the Table 6 of regulations, which was amended in 2008 to ensure that wine containing pyrimazine. Pyrimazine is a chemical compound that is used to make sure that the products do not go moldy, as it were. For example, cheese and all these other products, sometimes if they are not properly stored or managed or packaged or left exposed to oxygen for a long time, then they go moldy. So this is the kind of a chemical compound that is used to make sure that the mold do not necessarily develop on these products. So Section 16 as well, number 27 of the Liquor Products Act was also amended in 2009 to allow the implementation of the provisions of the mutual agreement as well as labeling agreement. So as far as legislation, we've already almost moved towards making sure that everything else is done for ease of acceptance. Future work of the group, this includes now the memorandum of understanding on certification requirements. This is still to do and is part of the agenda in Mendoza, in Argentina, in the next few months, to further reduce as well as e-certification of wine trade. And then the second phase on labeling agreements is to address sustainability labeling in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, impact on environment. I think all of us knows about the carbon, you know, impact issues. So those are the things that are going to be dealt as part of the phase two of the labeling agreement. Labeling for allergens, for example, the use of pictograms, like we use when you go to toilet, you don't write toilet anymore. You just use those two things, a man and a woman type of a symbol that indicates this, those are the kind of things that you're talking about on the label. Coordination with regard to maximum residue levels, yes, you know, certain levels of chemicals ought to be controlled to a certain level for health, for human health purposes, and as well as outreach in Asia. For example, China has been given the stance to come and be an observer in the next meeting, and the idea is to layer China into this so that the opportunity for market access becomes broader for our wine products. The World Wine Trade Group, as it were, as you said, it is not part and parcel of the OIV, but some members are members of the OIV. And the OIV is an intergovernmental organization based in France, which is part and parcel of the, you know, the family of the WTO, based in France. And South Africa has been a member and is still a member since 1963. And it is a scientific and technical organization and provides international standards and guidelines for wine, wine-based beverages, new wine making practices and technologies. And I think members have also seen, you know, in the newspapers last week about the use of a plastic bottle for wine. They also have a say in terms of, you know, standards around the use of new technologies in the wine industry. There was a review which took place in 2001. And prior to this, countries were concerned that the OIV was a little bit too Eurocentric. And members, you'll appreciate it, who may not necessarily see it in here, but when you are in Paris, when you are in Geneva, you start to see the strong hands of France, the strong hands of Italy, in that, you know, they like to control this trade all over the world. And the standards literally are tilted in their favor so that other members don't have, you know, edge over this thing. And that's one of the reasons why the WWTG group came into effect, because they could see that France is entrenching itself too strongly, and then that is not good for new producing countries. The US and Canada are the only members of WWTG who are not the members of the OIE, and I think that is very clear. The US, you know, sees itself as a competing, you know, force for the EU. And they do business the way they understand how they can make money or impact on their business development in the world. And so the Department of Agriculture didn't see any conflict between the OIV and the WWTG, as these two organizations have different fields of work as well as objectives, and complement each other from our own basis. And I think we can profit in participating in all of them without compromising any constitutional or business developments in the country. The page 10, really, there is just statistical issues now relating to South Africa using 2008 as a base year. You can see there agricultural product exports. Wine constitutes about 14% of the, you know, exports in this country, which is quite a good mark. And if accession to this WWTG is given, certainly that number will increase over time, because certain limiting, you know, factors and restrictions will be removed for our wine product moving out into the world. South African wine exports on page 11, you can see there, using 2008 as a base year, 72% of our wine still go to the EU. You can see that, you know, I mean, amidst all these restrictions and the Eurocentricism about OIV, our wines are still good in the taste buds of many European consumers. So I think that is a good element. You can see SADC, US, and the idea is to increase 5% in the United States, to increase that 1% in China and Hong Kong, and the rest of Africa as well and other countries by getting involved with it. Page 12, you can see there is R1 million in terms of value of the industry. It has been growing since 1999 up to 2008. You can see just well over R6 billion. South African wines, including Argentina, Argentinian imports. You can see there that the Argentinian imports have come down quite drastically since 2003, which suggests that we are doing something. I mean, Argentina is on the southern part of the equator with us, so we are literally competing, you know, players in the market, same time, sometimes same qualities, and the timing of production and marketing. So you can see we are doing quite well in relation to Argentinian participation. In terms of production, you can see there South Africa were number 8 in terms of oil production. You can see the reason why France and Italy are wanting to be the big boys of the party. They are the biggest producers, well over, you know, 45% of the, you know, world production of wine. And we are doing something, and I think that industry can be grown in this country to better, you know, height for people to make a living out of it. Consumption-wise, I think we will be disappointed there, or we will be happy, I don't know. You can see South Africa doesn't feature anyway. So we produce a lot of wine, but we don't drink it. we intoxicate other people. But I think it's good. If the product is good, I think let's give it to them. As long as it has got no negative health impact, let's give it to them. We can assure them that it's a good quality. They can have a much longer life, and I think maybe we need to do a little bit of more of internal and domestic promotion for South Africans to start to, you know, consume their own products. So sometimes it can be very dangerous to rely on external markets. If there is a war in all these other countries, so what? It's going to happen. South Africa won't be able to sell its own thing. I'm just joking, but it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, but the picture is that we almost produce very little of we consume little of what we produce. Exports, you can see there in terms of countries, I think ours, it has already been seen, we are number last in terms of exports, but it's still good. It's still good because the foreign end from this is well over R6 billion. That is money that nobody can give you, you know, offhand. So a lot of employment opportunities are there in the wine industry. It is developing, and technology is coming to the place to improve the both productivity, the quality, and the taste of this particular product. So we're not really crying. We're just making sure that fair play can prevail, and we'll be in a position to develop the product better. Now, in conclusion, Chair, that is that one sheet that the one or other reason was not printed, no, no. It's that through the advice of the state law on both the MMAA and the labeling agreement, it was indicated that it should be dealt within Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. And that being the case, we are recommending to the Select Committee to recommend to Parliament to ratify the mutual acceptance of honorable practice and labeling agreements to enable the country to accede to the agreements and implement them in South Africa. And we will be in a position to even increase more in terms of the outreach and the importance of this industry to the economy of the country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It is to take about 30 minutes. Yeah, quite good. very much about this presentation. I think the members have listened carefully, and now is the time for questions, if there's any questions. I think I'll be the last. I think I must give to Honorable Foro and Honorable Dibia. That's the question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm saying sounds a very good report. And it seems there's still a lot of scope to do marketing, and it seems also there is stability and understanding in the organization. But one would like to know, when I listen, when I read here, I see the principle of practices are good, and the principles of agreements are good, but why is this organization informal, as if we are from the shanties and so forth? Why is it informal? Because I think if it's formalized and seems it's a block already, and they are in meetings and they speak as a, you know, as an organized block, formal, they will have more advantages. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is that I just want to check on page 4. You alluded to the fact that there needs to be some small changes in the wine legislation, but you didn't allude to those pieces of legislation which you think need to be changed. That's some more clarity on that one. And also on the fact that you are regulating such a important sector in our country, but are functioning, as the previous speaker says, actually on an ad hoc basis, with very minimal status. So I think that is also an area for an area of concern at this stage. Lastly, Chairperson, on you raise the issue of compliance very strongly on consumption, but I also are so strong on standards of our country. Thank you very much.
Okay, sorry. Okay, thank you, Honorable TDM. I've got some few, if not questions. In fact, I wanted to add is what Honorable Khora said about the formal membership. You talk about the group. I don't know how many people in that group. So you talk about the group. It says the group in page 1. The group is head by a rotating chair. So we don't know how many people. You said that there is those countries. How many reps from those countries? The other thing I want to know is have the cabinet, do we have the approval from the cabinet? Did you present this and have the approval from the cabinet? Another thing, I want you to provide us the details, changes of the liquor products. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think those are valid questions. My colleagues will help me to answer some of these questions. Some of them have got institutional and historical relationship with the process. But as far as the informality of the group is concerned, the rationale that is given is that it should not be prescriptive, because already we do have an OIV that is prescriptive within the WTO, you know, guideline. For us, it's actually to be informal, in the sense that access and entry is not based on the stringent conditions of the OIV and the WTO groups within ourselves. And that both WTO and the OIV does not rule out that people can do anything else other than them, because they are not policing countries, and they are not determining the economic development of countries. So I think all of them realize that there's no room for, you know, it's unlike in energy or, you know, military, you know, production issues, that maybe there could be some prescription, but they couldn't have any reason why there should be prescription. So the informality part of it is both not to compel nations to rush into doing things that they cannot do or have unintended consequences purely because somebody has to comply. And I think it's a good principle for democratic processes anywhere else in the world. As long as you see value and you can see that the intervention will do this to my industry at home while still being part and parcel of the WTO, then that is good for me. The other issue on changes to legislation, I think both Gunther and Wendy will respond to that one. And then there is an issue about we are managing regulating process in such an important sector, but we don't have powers. As I said, each and every country will have it. For example, our Liquor Products Act is not going to be affected by the crime or the, you know, chip-chipping of America or Argentina. It is our law. We can't change it because, you know, they want certain things to be done. We'll have to take it through the normal process if we believe that there are genuine concerns about what our law says that we'll do. And I think my colleagues will indicate the kind of changes that we've made already in the Act, as I've indicated. I think I'll check what that number is. The countries we are 8 is Argentina, Australia, Canada, Chile, Georgia is a small country out of USSR, New Zealand, South Africa, and the US. And there are no prescription in terms of numbers. For example, South Africa, it was myself as the chair, Gunther will always be there. So the four of us mainly will be intrinsically involved in the WTG processes. From technical perspective, from legal perspective, and from policy perspective, and also from, you know, general, you know, understanding of the politics of the country in terms of where we take the development of the country to be. So the four of us largely, you know, have been involved in the whole process, but there is no prescription whether 2 or 4 or something like that. For example, Canada has got about 2 people, US, quite a big number, same with Argentina. So there's no prescription on that one. But in our last meeting in Brussels, I think we were about 6-0.
Yeah,
in November 2009.
Yeah.
Yes. There were 60 of the members in this country. The meeting was held in here. The one in Brussels was for the committee, largely members. And then the cabinet processes, no, it has not gone to cabinet. That's the reason why we're here. This is just a process to make sure that we have to you'll add some more if detailed changes, I think, as I've said, Gunther and Wendy will take the lead. Okay.
Okay, if I just may add, those two agreements have been submitted to. Both these two agreements have been submitted to Cabinet, and they've been approved in Cabinet on 19 November 2008. So they have gone through that process. This is the second step in the ratification process. Also, with the informal, if I can just add what my supervisor, the participation in the group is informal. So if Brazil or some other country, Switzerland, wants to participate in the group, it is informal. They can participate. But the two agreements are not informal. They are formal agreements, so they go through the formal ratification process through all the members' parliament. So the two agreements are formal, but the grouping, the group as such and the participation in meetings is informal, and they're both government representatives are participating and also representatives from the wine industry. So on, in that regard, it is informal. It's a participation in the group, but the agreements are very formal. I think I will give my colleague, she's an expert on the Liquor Products Act, so she will respond to the changes in the wine legislation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was three changes that we needed to make to the regulations and the Liquor Products Act specifically. The first change was had to do with the use of pimarazine, which was already a part of it explained by Mr. Maloa. Pimarazine is allowed to be used in South Africa. It's used widely in the fruit juice industry. It's used in yogurt, and it's also allowed for use in wine. And it has to do with to ensure that if there is a bit of if you have a bit of a sweeter wine, and to ensure that when you add pimarazine to that wine, it will ensure that the wine will not have secondary fermentation in the bottle. So the wine will not start fermenting, it will remain stable, and you will not get more alcohol because the sugar will, if there's still yeast in the active yeast, the sugar will ferment and you'll get more alcohol. So to ensure that the wine remains stable, this is widely used in South Africa. We also, the local consumers enjoy a bit of a sweeter wine, so this is for the local market, it is allowed. It's also allowed in Europe, and it is used in sausages and cheeses there, so it's not allowed in wine, but it's allowed in all other types of products, food products. But the members of the World Wine Trade Group, they do not allow the use of pimarazine, and they felt that to ensure that we make a firm commitment to them that we will not export wines with pimarazine to their countries, we had to amend Table 6 of the regulations, and this table deals with the various substances which you may add to wine during the production process. So the actual detail of the wording that was added there, under pimarazine, it says here the manner and condition of it, how you may add it. It says that we included the wording, this substance may not be used for wine intended for export to Argentina, Australia, Canada, Chile, New Zealand, and the United States of America. So it just listed all the current World Wine Trade Group member countries. That was the one amendment. And then the other two amendments was in the Act, and this is, these two amendments are linked to each other, and it's amendment of Section 16 and Section 27 of the Liquor Products Act. And this just in principle made provision for South Africa to accede to the mutual acceptance agreement and the labeling agreement. And the reason why the amendments had to be done was to ensure that if a product is imported into South Africa with a different enological practices than we allow in our Act, we must ensure that we, as Dr. Maloa explains, the question of equivalence, so that we can accept their practices even if it's not exactly the same as ours. So the specific amendment there, I will read it to you, and we can also make copies for members if you want to look at it afterwards. So the amendment under Section 16, it says just there, an application for an import certificate shall be made in a prescribed manner, but it will be subject to the international obligations of the Republic. So that is the one amendment. And then the other one in Section 27 refers to that certain under certain circumstances and conditions, the administering officer or the one at Spirit Board, as the case may allow for a relaxation of a requirement in terms of a regulation or a scheme. So that was the amendment. Thank you.
I don't know maybe I'm a little bit if but there is something that I don't understand. You said the product, you said that the approval of the covenant was in 2008, and then your amendments was in 2009. I'm quite right. The amendment, the Liquor Products Act in May 2009. I'm quite right. And then you said that the approval by the cabinet was 2008. Is there no problem on that?
Yeah.
Will this not be a problem? You said that you said to us that your amendment, Liquor Product Act, was in 2009.
Yeah.
And then
the approval.
And then the approval was in 2008.
Perhaps I can try and answer there, Madam Chair. I'm not.
And also in your document, I don't know the page, but in that it said, officers of ship attention to Gantamala. There's no page in this. And it's a form in this document. Do you see this document? In the last paragraph. You said the agreement can only be submitted to Parliament for approval once Cabinet has consented to such submission.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, can I just try and answer some of your questions? Obviously,
can explain to us? We want you to know because this
is
important. We need to know before we do anything, so we need to understand.
Yeah. With regards to the changes of Table 6 of the regulations, the Pimarazine issue, there was two changes. The one is the regulations, and the other was the Act that was amended. The amendment of the regulations was simultaneously, it was done in 2008, and it was done simultaneously with the submission to Parliament. This was the major issue for the World Wine Trade Group countries, and at the time, we had to also provide a diplomatic note via foreign affairs to the various countries that we will be amending the legislation. We did a draft, which we submitted through to the various countries. And then in terms of that regulation amendment, that was done, as I said, simultaneously with the cabinet approval. The Act, the amendment of the Act, however, it was initiated, I think, about 10 years back. There was many changes in the Liquor Products Act, so it was a very long process. So by the time of the approval by Cabinet, the Liquor Products Amendment Bill was already in its final stages. So it was in the parliamentary processes, and the draft was also presented at the time to the Cabinet. So to provide the detail on where those changes would be. So that was everything. It was on the table at the time. So I hope that helps a bit.
Thank you. Honourable Foro, do you want to say something?
Mm-hmm. No, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable De Beer?
Clear at the point. I just want to check this group. How were they recruited as a group? Although you said it's a voluntary, informal process.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay. It's a very tricky one. But I think literally it's the coalition of the injured, if I were to put it correct. People who are a little bit disturbed about what is happening in Europe, baseline way of doing business. So they decided, it's like you starting your own political party or football club because you don't like the coach or the owner of this particular thing. And then you wanted to demonstrate that things can be done differently. Largely, that's where it comes from. Gunta?
My Madam Chair, if I may add that there are no European members, so the Europeans accuse us that this group is ganging up against Europe. But this group has moved beyond that. We have coordinated all the members or the participants of the Worldwide Trade Group have wine agreements with the European Union that regulates the trade. And we share information on these agreements. But the group then saw benefits and advantages of moving beyond that and focusing more of removing barriers to trade. Where Europe on the maybe the traditional way, there's very strict regulations what you may add into wine, and it's not really linked to health and safety aspects. This group says you must ensure that the wine is healthy and it's safe to consume, and we agreed on a definition for wine, so it is a more trade-friendly environment in the World Wine Trade Group than the traditional historic way of making wine and trading wine that is dominated by the European Union or the members of the European Union.
Thank you. I've got just little things that I want to know. Do you have some reps from the industry in your group? The representatives from the industry in your group?
Yes, ma'am. We do have got members from both of the wine and spirit port, as well as wholesalers. So yes, we do. And when we go to the meeting, they do come with us.
Thank you very much. I think in the last on your recommendations and your conclusion, you said that the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs and SOP to recommend to Parliament to ratify the mutual acceptance of this. I think now, just because we are not a fully fledged members, we'll discuss that in the fully fledged committee, and then we'll get the report from us. Thank you very much for your presentation. Let me finish. So, thank you very much for to step me. He says that she wants to push the job. She wants to push the job. Sorry for that. Thank you very much. We'll hear the report from us. But thank you for the report, for the information that you gave us. And I think you will interrogate more and more in this document because there are so many things that we don't understand, but not now. We must sit down and check. We'll go to interrogate this document, all your documents again, and then we'll call you again. Thank you very much. Thank you. And the committee, we've got another issue that we must attend to. Thank you very much. Honourable Paul, can you check if they need us more?
The other
members of the committee can come.
Thank you
very
much. Have a nice trip to Victoria.
Thank you.
Yeah,
what's wrong with
you? Yeah,
what's wrong with you? Hello, Ligo. Just in case they say something to you.
Thank you. Yeah, 1.5 terabyte, 16 plus. I've got it for 950. But you know, okay, that's the volunteer. If you find anywhere else, you show them that.
You can't. I mean, I got another 50 off the price. I mean, where are you going to get a 1.5 terabyte for 950?
You should have done
it on the page. They advertised it.
Because I already bought something.
No, no, no. As a mistake, and they actually give it to me for the price.
No, 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 the meeting was closed.
Oh.
The meeting was closed.
The meeting was closed.
The meeting was closed. Asker, wat is de section van Palam? Is die al
waar?
Ik krijg
confusie. Ja, dat
is wel. Hij denkt al die maatvolging wat gaan we?
Nou,
met al dat? Maatvolging is de
keten is
al lang, hè?
Yes.
Alles is al
in Palam. Yeah.
Everything is now.
Alles is al lang.
Yes.
Deze tel niet maatvolging wat gaan we?
Members just only for one item for the adoption of the minutes and the act, whatever.
Okay.
Just check the time and then at least it will be better for us. Okay. Maybe whether it was on, if we've got the caucus in the morning or caucus, whatever, but check a date just we can have all my first phone the members and check and then we can just only the item to adopt it in the minutes.
No
waiting for.
And